Training camp has been an intense one for Miami, so we break down all the action, what we've heard from Eric Spoelstra, Tyler Herro, and more. Plus, Gisele Espinales of NBC6 joins the show with her perspective on camp, the competition for the starting lineup, and outlook for the season. That's all coming up on today's Locked On Heat.
You are Locked On Heat, your daily Miami Heat podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
All right, welcome to Locked On Heat, your daily podcast covering all things Miami Heat. However you might be tuning in on YouTube, Odyssey, or wherever you get your podcast, thank you so much for making Locked On Heat your first listen every day. I'm Wes Goldberg here with David Ramil. Victor Oladipo wants a bigger role, and Gisele Espinales from NBC6 Sports joins us after visiting Heat training camp in the Bahamas in a minute. But we begin today with the latest on Tyler Herro's extension. Herro told reporters Thursday that talks about his extension are ongoing between his agent and the Heat, but made sure to point out that this isn't a rush to sign anything below what he views as less than what he deserves, saying, quote, "I want to be here. I want to be in Miami, but I'm not rushed to sign anything. It's got to make sense for me and my family. I'm not just going to sign anything. I see the market. I see what guys got paid, and I know my worth. So what I'm looking for is the right number." David, what do you make of Tyler Herro's comments?
Not much. I mean, I think he wants to get paid, to be quite honest with you. He also threw in a little extra nugget, which I'm sure we'll get into soon also, that, you know, it doesn't matter where he plays, right? Whether he's here, whether he's elsewhere. And he made it clear he wants to be in Miami, but moreover, he just wants to go out there and play basketball and get paid a lot of money for it. So I think that's his goal. I think he's bristled a little bit from the front office not giving him that extension. I know he's saying it's not a rush. I don't buy that for a second. I think that they want to get paid as quickly. They want to lock that in. They want to be able to just move on, focus on the on-court production, focus on the start of the season, rather than have to worry about that contract and the extension kind of looming over his head for the start of the year.
He's not in a rush to get paid what he wants to get paid. But if they come in with something below market value, Colin Sexton, right, for example, four years, $90 million, he's not agreeing to that. Him and XL Sports, Jeff Schwartz, they're not going to agree to that. Jeff Schwartz is an aggressive agent. You look at the people he's represented in the past. Marvin Bagley III, for instance, got paid way more than he ought to have gotten paid on his extension. It's one of those he's one of those established groups that they're not afraid to go into restricted free agency. And when I hear Tyler Herro say, "I'm not in a rush to get paid what I deserve to get paid," to me, I'm reading that as, hey, y'all want to play hardball and you want to take this into restricted free agency? That's what we'll do if you're trying to give me Colin Sexton money. On the other hand, if you want to come in with R.J. Barrett money, maybe then we've got a deal, because R.J. Barrett just signed with the Knicks for a four-year, $120 million extension, what could be worth up to $120 million, $107 million guaranteed. David, that's between $26 million and $30 million a year. When I hear Tyler talk about the market and seeing what other guys are getting paid, we already got reports earlier in the summer that Tyler Herro's market is probably somewhere between 20 and 25 million. That was before RJ Barrett got paid. That was before this extension with the Knicks. RJ Barrett, who's in the same draft class as Tyler Herro, was drafted a lot higher than Tyler Herro, but the same class. And you could argue that Tyler Herro's numbers are as good as RJ Barrett's. Now, I don't necessarily want to have the debate. RJ Barrett starting, is he better defensively? Sure. Whatever. Tyler Herro don't care about that either. He's looking at that RJ Barrett extension. That's the number he's looking at.
I wonder whether he'd be comfortable or happy taking any less than $100 million.
He's not going to do that.
$107 million.
Over 4 years? No way.
$107 plus incentives in New York is probably the equivalent of like $100 million plus incentives in Florida. But I wonder whether or not so much of the NBA is about status and having you being recognized as a max player. Once you're that guy, once you're getting paid that publicly and everybody knows how much you're making, a lot of that is about showing off and being able to say, "I am that player. I deserve that money," et cetera. But I just don't think he'd feel comfortable. I think he sees himself as better than RJ Barrett. And again, we can make that argument for him. But I just don't think he's going to be willing to take less than Barrett, regardless of the tax situation in New York and Florida, or the high cost of living in New York as compared to Florida, et cetera. I think Tyler wants to get paid more than Barrett, just to be able to show, "I've got the hardware. I've been to the NBA Finals. I've been to the playoffs 3 years in a row. You haven't done anything in your career."
Minimum has to be $100 million. has to be. There's a cachet, to your point.
That's a starting point.
It's the starting point. Look, the Heat have until October 17th to hash something out with Tyler Hero, right? That's the day before the regular season begins, and that's the deadline for something like this. If it goes past that and there is no deal, then Tyler Hero is going to play this. He's got to play the season either way on his – it's about a $6 million contract. Whether or not that extension kicks in next year or not will depend on whether or not they get anything done before October 17th. Look, I really think a lot of it's going to come down to training camp and what he looks like. We heard Pat Riley – issued that challenge to Tyler Hero. You got to get better defensively. Add another 10 pounds of muscle. We heard Tyler Hero say, hey, I added 10 pounds of muscle going into last season. By the end of the season, I had lost that 10 pounds of muscle because of the wear and tear and just basically all the running you do during the regular season. We've already heard and seen reports that Tyler Hero's added another 10 pounds of muscle, and he looks good. You and I saw him up close at Media Day. Everybody that we talked to at training camp says he looks great there. There's already videos coming out from the Bahamas. He looks like he's gaining weight. He looks like he's gaining muscle. And by the way, that's supposed to be the case. He's 22 years old. He's not going to be in his physical prime until he's 26, 27 years old. And for him, who looks like a little bit of a late bloomer, even physically, that it might even be until, you know, his physical prime might not be until he's like 30, 31. That said, whatever he looks like in camp, I think the Heat are going to look at that strongly and make a decision from there about whether or not they want to give him that RJ Barrett kind of money. Pat Riley's in the Bahamas. Andy Ellisberg is in the Bahamas, right? Adam Simon is in the Bahamas. Eric Spoelstra, obviously, in the Bahamas. They're going to get to see Tyler up close and see what he's doing in these practices and in these scrimmages against Jimmy Butler, Bam Adebayo, Kyle Lowry, and all these other guys, Max Strus, Victor Oladipo, guys he's competing with for a starting job. And they could make a determination based on that, on whether or not they want to give him that kind of money and if they're comfortable with it.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. I mean, you got to assess whether or not he's put in the work over the offseason, whether or not it's actually going to be applicable into something tangible during training camp, and a sign that he is ready to take that leap. We heard, and we talked with Giselle about this, we heard about Jimmy Butler kind of shifting the onus a little bit, saying this team will go as far as Bam and Tyler will take us in support of what he can do. And if Tyler's ready for that next step, if he shows this during the training camp that he's put on the weight, that he's able to continue to develop into a better version of what we saw even last year when he was sixth man of the year, then that might shift the focus, the line of thinking a little bit for the front office and say, you know what, let's quit yanking him around. Let's give him the money that we think he deserves rather than have it play out messy. Because I do think it will. Like, there's just no way around it. If he goes into restricted free agency, he's going to take an offer sheet elsewhere. And then at that point, then you're basically playing, you're having two franchises playing chicken. You could pit one franchise against the other. That's a very bad place for Miami to be in from a bargaining perspective. So I don't think you want that to be the case. Somebody's going to pay Tyler at 23 at the end of next season a lot of money. And whether it's Miami or not, that remains to be seen.
And to your point, you know, Tyler has not made it a secret that he wants to start. He is also, in recent comments at training camp in the Bahamas, said, I just want to be wanted. And after a year of being included in Donovan Mitchell and Kevin Durant trade rumors, and who knows how much stock Tyler himself puts into those rumors, right? And who knows what kind of conversations happen between Tyler Hero and the Heat's front office, right? But he wants to feel wanted, and he wants the opportunity to start. Does he get that in Miami this season? Who knows? That we'll see, right? But if they, to your point,
great in Portland next to Dame Lillard, right? I mean, that's a team that could throw a lot of money at him. You know, all the comparisons to CJ McCollum, and then he can finally go and take his.
Because that worked so well for Portland before, right? One other thing, one other quote before we finish up here on Tyler. He's making it known how much he's working. I think if Tyler Hero, I don't disagree with what you're saying, that he's going to want to feel wanted somewhere, and he's not going to hesitate to sign an offer sheet elsewhere if he does have to enter a restricted free agency next year. And by the way, the Heat's motivation for not giving him an extension is to make sure that he's still tradable. If you sign him to an extension before the regular season, you essentially can't trade him because of the poison pill provision until next season when that extension kicks in. And so if you're the Heat and you want to maintain that flexibility, that's another reason why you want it. It's not just whether or not you think that Tyler Hero is deserving of that money if you're comfortable paying him that money long term. It's also how flexible do you want to stay in case there's an opportunity to trade for a superstar midseason. Now, that said, I don't think that if you're the Heat front office, you can operate that way. And I also, as much as the Heat loves to star chase, I don't think they operate necessarily that way either. I think they like the definite thing more than the chance thing. But still, I think Tyler Herro wants to make it known how hard he's working. Here's the quote that I wanted to read. Quote, I kind of regained the weight and then my body fat is like at 4.7%. I got the lowest on the team. And then he remarks to reporters, make sure everybody knows that. And he said that with a grin, again, according to the Miami Herald. Tyler Herro, coming at 4.7% body fat, which would be better on the team, best on the team, better than Jimmy Butler, better than all these guys. And he's letting them know. He's letting them know. And he's making sure that the reporters say, make sure everybody knows that. Everybody might as well just say, make sure Pat Riley, Andy Ellsberg, and Adam Simon know that.
That's and Jimmy Butler.
And Jimmy Butler, of course. Coming up, we're going to be joined by Giselle Espinales to talk about what she saw firsthand at Heat training camp in the Bahamas. But first, let's talk about BetOnline.
Yeah, BetOnline.net, your number one source for football betting info this season. We're recording this on a Thursday afternoon, just hours away before the Miami Dolphins tip off against the Cincinnati Bengals. I know you're not a believer, Wes. I know you're as much of a Dolphins fan as you are. You don't think the Dolphins can...
David, I'm a believer. I'm just not a guy who's going to jinx my home team, so I do not bet on the Dolphins on Thursday Night Football. Weird stuff happens on Thursday Night Football, but I'm seeing a lot of places saying that they're going to cover the 3.5 spread, so we'll see.
Yeah, I wonder whether or not the practice gate will wind up playing an impact or a role at all, because apparently half their offense was leaked out to social media, right? So we'll see whether or not that throws the team off any or gives Cincinnati an edge. But anyway, if you're wanting an edge for all your betting needs, go to betonline.net for all the latest player developments, team matchups, news, podcasts, and in-depth articles and analysis of every game you can find. It's the fastest and easiest way to check in on all your favorite games and events, including Major League Baseball, MMA, boxing, the NFL, and of course, the NBA. Games start in just about a week and a half or so. So head to betonline.net or use your mobile device to learn more. BetOnline, where the game starts.
All right, and we are here with Giselle Espinales from NBC6 Sports, who is just flying back now from the Bahamas, where she was attending Miami Heat training camp. Giselle, thanks so much for jumping on your travel day. First, what was your biggest takeaway from the first couple of days of Heat training camp?
You know, it's funny, going into training camp and seeing all the guys kind of get back together, it's one of those things that you can feel that familiarity. They're all kind of like, we all know each other. Let's get to work. Let's get this stuff started. And even started back even with Media Day, where kind of all the guys were getting all these questions of like, hey, it's the same roster. Hey, we're running it back. And everyone's like, no, we're like way stronger, way better. We worked so hard this season. And it shows some of those guys look really in shape. Even I know there's been a lot of discussion with Kyle Lowry, like just him walking around, like he looks significantly different in a good way. You know, I think definitely his work that we saw in those Las Vegas videos came to play here. You know, the few moments that we were able to just catch a glimpse of him, right, as media were allowed in, it's like his body does look very different.
Yeah. Well, you got a chance also to talk with Eric Spoelstra, who had a few comments about Kyle Lowry. We didn't get a chance, David and I, to talk to Spo because he was rather busy
having a baby
during media day and wasn't able to be there. But your conversations with Spo, how was he? And what did you make of his comments about Kyle Lowry? Because it sounded like he was very supportive in a way that maybe Kyle needed it.
You know, it's funny because obviously Spo's a machine. Like he comes in, he's like, mom and baby are good. I'm happy to be back with the Heat team too. So he went in and he was really excited getting all the guys back together. And I think one of the things that was really eye-opening is he keeps mentioning that, hey, Kyle's in great shape. He's our Hall of Fame quarterback. And to not have him the way that we needed him last year and finally getting him back in a better position, both mentally and physically, was a big help, because we've been seeing throughout the summer play out like Kyle wasn't ready and all the stuff that he was going through personally. Like for us, that's not our business. So obviously Kyle being able to put some of those things behind him that he may even still be going through, but being able to put the work in, Spo's all for it, especially since he's kind of getting excited about what positions and combinations are going to be ready for this team as the season starts.
You mentioned the running it back that on media day, and we got that sense too, the idea of this continuity being a strength rather than a weakness was certainly prevalent. But at the same time, we're starting to hear more and more players talk about, oh, I want to start, I want more minutes, I want a bigger role. That kind of seems like it's a conflict with the idea that running it back is a strength. What's the vibe around media day? Because we didn't get, I mean, not media day, around training camp. Like, is there any sense that, you know, players wanting, you know, conflicting roles on this roster might be a problem moving forward?
You know, everyone's talking about those two roster spots open. You know, you have what you would think the projected three is going to be Bam, Kyle, and Jimmy. And then even Jimmy right away, we weren't able to talk to him during media day. He was already saying, like, listen, there's guys that are four or five guys that are competing hard to be able to fight for one of those starting spots. And it shows, like, Tyler's the same thing. Like, he's saying already in training camp, like, listen, I'm working hard. I'm one of those competitors. Max Strus is like, more low-key about it, but he's definitely talking about it openly, saying like, hey, we're all competing hard here because we actually have a chance to be able to put into one of those starting spots, and they're competing hard to be able to get into it. And obviously everyone's talking about the four, and then Spo made a joke about even having Jimmy like, hey, start Jimmy at the four, even starting him at the five one day in his career. But Caleb Martin is one of those people that he was like, hey, I'm actually stronger this offseason. I've worked really hard. I'm making my game, making sure that I actually have a chance to kind of have a role here. And he's also one of those players in those competing spots. So Spo's kind of been saying that it's going to be interesting. And I feel like his personality is like, yes, so we're going to get like being able to like finagle all these kind of different moves, because in the end, it's not really who starts a game. It's who's going to be the team or like the five that finish those games in those tight spots when they need those wins.
I think that's the first time we've ever had the word finagle dropped on the podcast. So shout out to you. That is a very good word. That is a very good word. Who do you think starts? Because we heard from Omer himself. Like, he told us that he thinks he's a quality candidate to start and put Bam down at the four. So moving forward, who do you think starts for the line? You pointed out the three already that are likely to start. Who else fills out the starting lineup in your opinion?
That's funny because Omer, even at media day, he was just like, he thinks of himself as a starter. So way to go, because that's one of the things they've been talking about a lot, like the confidence, and maybe that confidence of having everybody like run it back or this kind of same roster. They all know like the personalities that are going to work well together. They all know who is the role for certain things. I mean, I can really see Caleb starting, and Max. Like, Max has grown to such a good player and has been able to be in those big games. And he's even said it himself, like, I was able to get so much experience from even now getting a full training camp here within the Bahamas and getting those key minutes in the playoffs where we saw him hit big shots where everyone's like, who is Max Strus? And now that confidence that can elevate him to hopefully be in one of those starting lineups, like, I think he has it in him to finally make that spot official.
I think based on media day, everybody's going to try to say the right things. And in training camp, everybody's got their best foot forward, right? Everybody's excited to be back playing some basketball with their teammates and all these things. But with the Heat, I think it's interesting because it's such a run it back group, everybody except for basically PJ Tucker. I'm curious, like, what were your thoughts about the idea of running it back with this group? And what are your thoughts now? Do you feel more or less confident after media day and after training camp?
You know, it's funny. I think the sense that I'm getting is that the organization themselves, like, yes, Pat Riley did say run it back, but I don't think they meant it as the way everyone's thinking, like, oh, it's the same roster. Like, why is it special while the East got better, stronger, bigger stars? They didn't have a healthy Victor Oladipo. And that's a big key to them too. Like, we're forgetting, like, hey, Oladipo, will he be in his prime the way he was with the Pacers? We don't know yet until we get this finally a healthy Victor Oladipo. They keep reminding themselves of Kyle Lowry, like, hey, he was going through all his stuff. So this team was injured, battered as they made it to game 7 of the Eastern Conference Finals and still being able to make big plays and big adjustments. I think they're ready to finally be this core team that stayed together and stay strong together by being able to kind of, we're healthy now. We're going to make the right decisions with these lineups and maybe even a better mental space for Duncan, who also in media day, like, he felt like there was like a happiness towards him, like, kind of like, listen, all the stuff that happened behind, I'm in a better mindset. That's also a big help too. Like, Duncan was dropping all those threes when we needed them. And maybe this season is like, everyone's kind of like, okay, this is everybody's role. Here's what we're going to do. Here are how all the personalities are going to come together. And in the end, Spo was really big on saying, like, everyone's going to make a sacrifice. Sometimes it's not easy being the one that has to sacrifice, whether it's minutes, whether it's whatever position they're going to be. But in the end, this is for the team and kind of getting everybody together. And they're going to make the best decisions in order to make it to the goals that they need to be. Because for them, running it back doesn't mean making it to game 7. It means holding a trophy at the end of the season.
Right, right. What do you think about Jimmy's comments from media day that this team will only go as far as Bam and Tyler takes them? It kind of puts the pressure on the two young guys to take a step in their development and to provide more of a supporting role to Jimmy, because we saw him almost single-handedly carry the team throughout the playoffs. Yeah. So What are your thoughts about that?
I mean, Jimmy has a way with words of kind of knowing what to say.
That's putting it mildly, you know, yeah, that's putting it mildly. Yes,
and kind of knowing that the guys are going to hear this, because obviously Bam heard all those comments. He heard the comments from Pat Tyler too, you know, but I think it helps because in the end, confidence is what's going to keep these guys going in whatever way they can actually get going. Like, look, sometimes you hear from Heat Twitter all the time, why isn't Bam aggressive? Why isn't this? Even though we know that that's not Bam's style of play. But now kind of Bam even embracing it, like, hey, yeah, I'm going to take more shots. I mean, you heard it from the old guy, or like, I don't even know how he addressed Pat Riley, but it's like he knows that there's going to be more of a demand for him. And Tyler is just ready to, like, he's already knowing, like, hey, I've been wanting to be a starter. I was sixth man of the year last year, and now it's time for him to, like, get paid for that kind of role. Because think about it, he's going to bring some of the most explosive plays, and maybe he is starting to realize, like, maybe, you know what, I've been kind of like, okay, chilling. Now he's going to try to be probably more of a competitor now to try to get one of those starting spots.
Do you sense that Tyler Hero has a chip on his shoulder?
I do. I really do. And I think it's because, listen, we see what happened with the Knicks, and we're seeing like Colin Sexton and all these contracts that got drawn up. It's like, Tyler's like, why is that not me? Knowing that he's one of the best players in the league in himself. Like, he believes that much in himself. So I think he's just ready to be like, okay, that's it. How much more do I really have to prove? And it has nothing to do with contract. It's now coming now to those crucial minutes, or even that starting spot that hopefully maybe he wants to get. And he's showing it already just by saying it so publicly. Because, you know, those comments are going to like go places. Even at training camp, the second day that we saw him, he was just like, listen, I'm one of those competitors. He wasn't shy, like, yeah, guys, you know, Max was kind of more mild about it. Tyler's like, no, that's me. Like, I'm competing and I'm ready for it.
Last one from us, Giselle, and thank you so much for joining us. But Jimmy Butler's hair, we couldn't let you off without talking about this. It looked interesting and different when he got onto the podium at Media Day. We all saw it. His teammates also saw it, did not seem to be big fans of it. Yep. It seems like there's been a few adjustments, a few tweaks to the extensions that may or may not actually be extensions. We saw videos in training camp. He's got the dreadlocks up now fully over the headband and kind of coming down in like this kind of ponytail thing. Your thoughts on the extensions? Do you think that we're ready for this to be Jimmy Butler's look going into the regular season?
You know, it's funny. I think knowing that it was going to make a splash and that picture is the media day picture for the whole season, like, Jimmy knows what he's doing. I don't know. He did say he was still kind of back and forth and that he wasn't going to rock it for the season. In my personal opinion, I'm like, listen, whatever makes Jimmy happy, if he's going to end up him scoring and being confident scoring that three, Jimmy, wear your hair however you need to wear, because in the end, we need to win. And whether your hair is in a bun, all wrapped up behind a headband, I don't know what kind of moves he's trying to make, but as long as it causes wins, like, might as well. Go, Jimmy.
Giselle Espinales from NBC 6 Sports. Thanks for hanging out with us.
Thanks, guys. It was so much fun.
All right, back here with Locked On Heat. We'll talk about Victor Oladipo and the role that he expects to have this season here in a minute. But David, I just wanted to follow up on the conversation we just had with Giselle, who was there, obviously, for the first couple of days of training camp in the Bahamas. And I thought one of the interesting things that we talked about with her was just how many players on this team feel as if they deserve an opportunity to either start or have big minutes, and what kind of place that puts Eric Spoelstra in to try to manage not just your best lineups, but the egos at play here too. As Giselle said, and as we've been talking about, we know the three penned in starters, Lowry, Jimmy Butler, Bam Adebayo. Based on what Eric Spoelstra has said in training camp, Jimmy Butler will not start at the four. That means it's probably going to be Caleb Martin. Who knows? Haywood Highsmith could also have something to say about that in this training camp. And then, of course, at that two-guard spot, you've got Tyler Hero, Victor Oladipo, and Max Strus. This, to me, is a fascinating development, and I think the Heat can either sink or swim with this stuff, because, like Spo says, you welcome all that competition. I wonder if the Heat, down the line and down this roster, when these guys... You know, not everybody's going to be happy, right? Everybody wants to. You got Oladipo and Tyler Hero both saying they want to start. I'd put all the money I've got on the fact that Tyler Hero and Victor Oladipo won't both be in that starting lineup. So one of them, minimum, is going to be unhappy. So I just wonder how that's going to impact this team emotionally when the season begins.
Yeah, I've said it before. I think this is probably the most challenging year for Eric Spoelstra ever. Even more challenging than the big three, because as much as managing that team for 4 years was difficult at the end of the day, not to go all NBA cliche here, you could just trust in the amount of talent that you had, and regardless of whatever friction that might be going on in the locker room, you had the big three. They were going to win you a whole heck of a lot of basketball games, whether they liked each other, whether there were issues in the locker room, whether or not there was conflicts about roles, et cetera. You want that to be as steady and smooth as possible, but that team was talented enough. I don't think that this team is as talented, and therefore, when you have all these egos kind of in conflict with one another, when you have so many players that are looking for a bigger payday or a bigger role in this team, or in Max's case, to hang on to the role that he earned last year, that's a very combustible combination. And for Spo to have to manage these things early on, yes, I think publicly he's stating how much he likes this. I think it's a little sociopathic of him to say, yes, I love this kind of conflict. We've heard from him before that he loves that kind of conflict because I think it forges people into a newer, better version of themselves. But that's also an incredible challenge for him moving forward. He's got a lot. But I also trust that Eric Spoelstra and the front office have done such a good job over the past few years of maintaining opening lines of communication and being forthcoming in what your role will be. We've heard that from a number of players at various points throughout, in different stops here in Miami, that the front office, the coaching staff, and Spo in particular, is very open with players and tells you, look, this is what we need from you. This is what your role is going to be. If you thrive in this role, you will benefit from it. So I think that's one thing that Miami has in their favor.
I think you're right. The only issue with that is I don't think they know what these roles are going to be just yet. Once they have established those roles, I'm sure they will have that openness with the players. Hey, look, this is what we expect of you. By the way, I think that's already happened. I think it's already happened. Let's not beat around the bush here. Dwayne Dedman wasn't a $4 million player. He's not a $4 million a year player. He knows what this contract is all about. I think Victor Oladipo deciding that he wanted to take that two-year deal at a lower, you know, salary per year versus the one-year deal at $11 million that he initially signed was something similar, right? I think that they've been forthright with Victor Oladipo. This is not me reporting. This is me guessing and just based on conversations we've had with Heat people in the past and the way that they do things, this front office. I think that they've been forthright with Victor Oladipo saying, hey, we're going to try to get you this role that you want. We believe that you deserve it. But if we can't find a way to make that happen, you could get traded before the deadline and we'll try to send you somewhere where that role might be an option for you. That said, I think that this is actually a great opportunity for the Miami Heat. There's a lot of overlapping skill sets and positional overlapping on this roster right now. We've talked about three guys who deserve to start at shooting guard for the Heat. You can only start one of them. I think that they don't really have, you know, they have overlapping skill sets in a bunch of different areas. Is Bam a four? Is he a five? What kind of lineups can you put him in with? Is it going to be with Dedman or Yurtseven and all these things? I think there's a great opportunity in training camp to create this competition and basically make it survival of the fittest. Hey, who are our core guys? Who are the best seven or eight or nine guys? And will those guys rise to the top? Will the survival of the fittest thing, like this Darwinian thing happening in the Bahamas right now, like who emerges from that as your best players? Because like you just said, this is Spo's hardest job yet because he's got to manage all of this while also trying to get back to the Eastern Conference Finals. Right, he's got to do all of this without adding a Kevin Durant or a Donovan Mitchell or making any major upgrades. He's got to figure out a way to harness this team and make it better somehow. And I said, it's going to be sink or swim. This team cannot swim or can't sink and reach its goals. It's got to get better. You've got to get improvement from Bam. You've got to get improvement from Tyler. And I think the only way to get that stuff is to create this level of competition, this Darwinian training camp that's going on in the Bahamas right now. It's the only way to get that out of these guys is to create that competition. Right. And so I think this is a great opportunity. And by the way, if Tyler Hero doesn't earn the starting job, and if they don't see what they need to see from him, maybe they don't get him the extension, maybe they decide they want to move on. This is an opportunity for the Heat to finally figure out what this roster is and how far it could go.
It's not even about avoiding sinking, too. You can't even afford to tread water. Like, I even as we're talking about this right now, like, there has to be a clarity established early on. Like, even as much as you're trying to figure it out over the next couple of days before training camp ends, you want to be able to be as clear as possible because players hate being in a nebulous place where they're not quite sure what their roles are. And it's going to be such a difficult challenge for Spo to figure that out early on. And he's already missed a couple of days. Chris Quinn filling in as head coach while Spo was back in Miami, helping his wife with the recently birthed daughter. So he's been behind the eight ball to some degree. You hope that he's being able to figure out something quicker rather than later.
I'm sure
we'll see how it plays out.
You mentioned that nebulous I'm sorry, but yeah. you mentioned that nebulous space, and that leads us right into this conversation we want to have about Victor Oladipo.
Absolutely.
Telling reporters on Thursday that he's going to accept any role he's given, but saying, quote, "I do hope it's a bigger role, more responsibility, and more opportunity." We talked to Victor Oladipo in the scrum on Media Day. He mentioned that, of course, he wants to start. He's been a starter his entire career. Last year, coming off the bench because of the nature of the injury, and when he got back to the team, that was just what it was. But it was an adjustment for him. He was asked by the media, would that still be an adjustment for you? Or having done it, is that going to be a less of an adjustment for you? He said, no, it's going to be an adjustment for me. I am a starter in the NBA. Mm. We'll see if he's a starter for in the NBA this season. Either way, he's made this much clear. He wants a bigger role. He wants more responsibility, and he wants more opportunity. David, when he talks about more opportunity, 9.1 field goal attempts per game last season, career low for him. That was in the playoffs and in the regular season. Strangely enough, he averaged the same amount of field goal attempts postseason and regular season. Tyler Hero had 17 field goal attempts per game last year as a sixth man. Everything I'm seeing, David, means, hey, Victor Oladipo, give him that sixth man role. He's gonna have all the opportunity in the world to shine.
Yeah, but as we just talked with Giselle, like, she's a believer that Max seems penciled in as a potential starter also. At least he's a very strong candidate, as they all are in their own ways. So if you've got Max starting, how do you find enough minutes for Oladipo and Hero to share the court? Like, will they be a functional two-man unit when you've got Tyler potentially still looking to earn his extension? Or if not, at that point, he doesn't get his extension, earn a bigger payday in restricted free agency. You've got Oladipo looking to get a big payday in unrestricted free agency. That could be a huge.
That's why it's not going to happen. I don't see it. I think either Victor Oladipo or Tyler Hero have to start.
Max, who's looking to get paid, he's going to be an unrestricted free agent next season. There's a lot of free agents, a lot of guys looking to show out so that they can get paid. It's a really
I think Max is better playing off the ball, obviously, regardless if he's playing off of Tyler Hero or Victor Oladipo. I think he's going to be able to function. He's going to be able to get his shots. He's not a guy that's bringing the ball up and taking shots off the dribble, right? Like, Max is going to be able to get his shots, whether he's a starter or a bench guy. It doesn't matter. To me, I just think that the way Eric Spoelstra looks at rotations, he never really looks at, okay, let me start with my best five and then go from there. He likes to look at it as a complete 9 or 10 or 11-man rotation and what makes the most sense. Tyler Hero was one of Miami's best five players last year. There's no doubt about that. But the integrity of the lineup relied on Tyler Hero coming off the bench and starting Max Strus. It just, there was more chemistry, there was more balance across rotations, and I think that's what Spo's going to look at. What you just said is a great point, and one that people don't really talk about enough, because we're so focused on what that starting lineup is going to be and what the best starting group could be, that you almost forget Vic and Tyler Hero can't come off the bench together. It just can't happen. There's no way for both of them to be happy, and for the Heat's perspective, because I think we put a little too much into what makes a player happy a little too often, but if you're the Heat, you're trying to make sure Tyler Hero stays as a sixth man of the year if he's the sixth man, a sixth man of the year caliber player. If he's a starter, you want Victor Oladipo to potentially be a sixth man of the year candidate. They can't do that sharing that position. They can't do that sharing the second unit. I think one of them has to start, and whichever one starts, the other one's probably going to come off the bench as that sixth man role.
Yeah, playing alongside Max, right? That's where you think that's a better fit, because
now that we know Jimmy's not playing the four,
And even that, and that kind of puts Duncan Robinson almost out of the lineup, right? Like, how can he continue to carve out minutes there? I mean, I know he's not viewed anymore as a starting level player by most fans, but he sees himself that way. He wants to continue, and he's getting paid that way.
You can probably still find room for Duncan in the rotation. Like, Spo's going to go 10 or 11 deep early in the regular season.
He has to. Is Gabe Vincent unplayable? We saw a better version of Omer Yurtseven, and he's stronger, he's fitter, he understands the NBA at a higher level now. Like, he's made a strong case for himself to start and get a bigger role. How is that likely to happen? I mean, and then not to mention guys like Darius Days, Haywood Highsmith, or others that seem like they are strong candidates as well. It's a really, really, really tricky, challenging pecking order here, and for Eric Spoelstra to find the right balance, and not a lot of time to do so. So we'll see exactly how it plays out.
The stories that we're going to get from this training camp, David, I am so excited to hear them. I think this could be a legendary training camp where somebody might break a bone or something. Like, it would not shock me if there was blood spilled on those floors at the Bahamas ballrooms. Thank you again for making Locked On Heat your first listen every day. Remember to subscribe to new episodes of Locked On Heat on YouTube, on your favorite podcast app. If you missed any of our Media Day exclusive interviews with several Heat players, you could find those on your podcast feed or anywhere individually. We've posted them on our YouTube channel as well. We have a playlist for all of our Media Day interviews, so go check that out if you haven't already. Now make your second listen, Locked On Fantasy Basketball. Josh Lloyd hosts the number one daily fantasy basketball show on the planet. It's free, and it's available wherever you get podcasts. Have a great weekend, David.
You got it, Wes. Same to you.